Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpa review titled Gone Fishing, featuring Drew Miller and Nicole Sangvi of Hypernames.co, who's on the show for the first time. On today's show, we play the domain game featuring Hardwire.com, WFHEmployment.com, and Space.so. And then we've got the NameJet and a Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. And we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including Concentration.com, CareerPlanning.com, NTK.com, and Hometown.org. Then we also talk about the NBA playoffs, but don't worry, not a ton. Mike Seiger's Notify.domains platform, other tools in the domain space, including appraisal tools such as Appraise.net, and how to properly price domains looking at objective and subjective values. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Skiv.com, formerly Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And now, big shout out to Unstoppable Domains. Unstoppable gives you the most cutting-edge tools to buy and sell domains. You get free back orders, their API, their new AI assistant for easily searching and managing domains, plus build your own custom landers and SEO content with their AI site builder. Try them out at unstoppabledomains.com. And also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name, so go to DNX.com today. And also, big shout out to Appraise.net, instant AI-powered domain appraisals with retail price ranges and detailed justification for every name. Whether you're buying, selling, or building your portfolio, know what your domains are really worth. Beyond the range, each appraisal includes a breakdown of the domain's multicultural reach, strengths, and weaknesses, and a market analysis covering the best use case, industry, and likely buyer profile. Get your first month for just $1 at Appraise.net/DomainSherpa. And last, but certainly not least, big shout out to our own Business Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. Also, a few domain conferences and meetings to mention. We've got the upcoming ICA gathering in New York City next week, May 19th and 20th. It's your last chance, assuming there's even still space available. So go to internetcommerce.org for more information on that. And then we've got NamesCon 2026 taking place in Miami on November 11th and 12th. Go to namescon.com for more information and to register. So with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is the Domain Sherpa Review, where we get into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain name investors ourselves. These are the experts, the OGs, the best in the biz. It's how it is. And very, very excited to come to you live today. It's going to be good. And so we've got four segments to a Domain Sherpa Review. We've got the grand opening. That's where I intro the Sherpas. We see what's going on with them. We talk about some related things, some unrelated things. We'll see what's up. Then we get into the domain game. That's where we hear about what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses on price. We'll keep score. We'll have a winner. Somehow, some way, someday, we'll get some swag to the winner. You know what I'm saying? You might get yourself a little Sherpa Island hoodie or something like that. Then we got NameJet and a Jet. We review a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet, see what the Sherpas like and what they don't like. And then last but not least, we get into grand closing. That's where we'll discuss anything that we have not covered already, what's going on in the domain space, and looking at the market trends, current events, and allowing our guests to mention and promote anything they want to talk about that we've not already discussed. So with that, let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my left, we got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn. Never going to give Drew up. Get Rick Rolled, Graybeard, the Domain Pirate, the Domain Don, all that good stuff. What's going on, man? How are you?
I have a domain offer you can't refuse.
I am good. I'm frustrated. We were talking just quickly before the show about angst, and I also have some angst. Wow.
Oh, you're calling it Unk. I'm like, friend. Who's Unk? What are you referring to as Unk? What's your angst related to?
Angst. Well, you know, my house was supposed to be fucking done on Friday. It's not. We got guests coming from Guatemala. We got guests coming from the U.S. We got guests coming from Germany. They're all coming. They're all coming to visit. They all want to go to the house. It's not done yet. And so anyways, I just got a lot going on. A lot of balls in the air. But otherwise, all good. You know, just waiting for the last leg of a blow-off top before the world goes to hell in a handbasket. And then we restart. You know what I mean? I'm looking for the restart. I want that reset. You know what I mean? Rate cuts, money injections.
Yeah.
You know, totally irrational markets, people losing their minds in both directions.
Best kind.
It's best, what I'm here for.
A lot of volatility, man. There's money to be made in the volatility. Let's go. All right. Well, good stuff. All right. Well, let's keep it moving. Below Drew, we got the one and only Andrew Miller, a.k.a. Miller Time, a.k.a. Ace Rothstein, a.k.a. Bill Belichick circa 2010, a.k.a. the Miller Whale, a.k.a. Andrew Dice Clay. Jack and Jill went up a hill, each with a buck and a quarter. Jill came down with 250. Hey, what's going on? Mr. ATM, cash machine. What's up, dude? How are you?
It's a conflict, man. The ATM, the cash machine, you know? I'm trying to get my domain. I can't get it.
We sold ATM.com.
Yeah, not to me.
What are they doing? Are they using it?
Yeah, they're using it. Oh, yeah.
That's right. He just reached out to me the other day. We sold that. You know what? They got an amazing, I forget. I think we sold that for like
IT
or so. Yeah, a long time ago. 10, 15 years ago or so.
But yeah, because I was trying to get in for a long
time. But they got a great price. That was a great deal. They got a great deal on that name.
You should call me. Anyway.
Well, we acquired it for them.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm good. I mean,
I got a name for you. ATMX.
We'll talk about it.
ATMX.com.
I don't like booby prizes. Meanwhile,
booby prize, you know, the X makes it more valuable, man. Just ask Elon.
Anyway, I'm good, JT, to answer your question. I also got some angst. I was telling Drew before the show, you know, I get this thing on my phone, right? Daily advice: do not let the little things matter or bother you. They are not worth the energy. And, you know, my angst is over such stupid nonsense, but yesterday was just a day full of pain in the butt stuff. And we could talk about some of it as it relates to domains later, but nothing relevant, nothing material. Things are still good out there. And I agree with Drew. We're riding a wave as long as we ride it, and then it will be a reset. So ride it. It's been an amazing wave since December, and keep riding it. But, you know, sometimes angst comes from, you know, my angst at this moment is coming from, I would say, incompetent attorneys. You could not rein in on a transaction, which is pretty unusual for me, and payment plan stuff, and, you know, little things, waiting on a deal to close, waiting for a consent from a board and shit like that. But yeah, nothing important, nothing relevant. Overall, life is good. I'm actually heading to, I'm going to be in the Hamptons for the month of June, which will be fun. There are my kids in the city and working from there. So all good.
Both kids in the city?
They will be for the summer. Yeah.
Very cool. No angst related to the Celtics though?
That's just... The angst isn't the right word. That is just salt in the wound. Watching, you know, I did not expect the Sixers to prevail or even come close in the Knicks series, because I felt like the Sixers won their championship by beating the Celtics and exceeded all expectations for the season. But to see how badly they have dismantled them in four games or whatever it's been is, you know, salt in a wound of how much the Celtics really just blew it. It's
frustrating. Yeah, well, you know, and the only reason I bring it up...
That's a script. Nobody blew anything. Somebody wrote a script. That's the script they played. End of story.
And although he's calling it a script, the only reason I'm bringing it up is because Drew is so anti-sports.
You're like my wife. My wife watches a movie and is like trying to like make real world sense of like the things. Like, why did he do that? I don't understand. Tell me. Why did he? It's like, because it was in the fucking script. What do you mean? Like,
yeah, like he didn't die in real life. You know what I'm saying? But look, but the only reason I even bring it up is because, look, I'm a Sixers fan and the Knicks, but I also really like the Knicks because of all the Villanova guys on the Knicks. So I get pretty torn in that. So I'm happy for the Knicks. I'm excited to see what they do. But Drew doesn't mention sports forever. In fact, he's anti-sports, except after I think it was like game one.
Oh, hold on. I am not anti-sports. I think sports is like one of the greatest things in life. Televised professional sports is a hobby for fools. It's like, let me invest my time, my energy, my emotions into a grown-ass man or a grown-ass woman running around for entertainment purposes in what we now know is only a scripted fucking act for entertainment purposes and degenerate gambling.
I'm with it. More for degenerate gambling probably than anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
But he hits me up after game one and he's like, man, you know, I don't like to talk sports, but my Celtics absolutely murdered your Sixers. You know, you're a Sixer fan, right? You know, and he's like,
My Celtics.
To be clear.
My Portugal.
To be clear.
Via New England, via Rhode Island Celtics.
To be clear, I actually worked for the Boston Celtics. I literally was sitting in that office. I know the entire back office. I have family that is still very much involved in the organization. So yes, I have some affinity to the Boston Celtics. I would say I still have a strong affinity, but I don't even watch them anymore just because the whole thing's fugazi. So,
And Billy is a Celtics fan. Oh, I'll go ahead, Nicole.
Oh, no, sorry. I was just going to say, I think I'm kind of with Drew on this one. I think he's maybe not so much on the whole thing being scripted, but I never got into watching sports. Like, I love playing sports. I agree that it's kind of like it's a great thing for kids, for adults, but I just never got into watching it on TV. I kind of found that really...
That's because, you know, if you're from
weird,
London...
Weird, right? It's just like, oh...
That's because if you're from London, that means...
Let me spend my life watching another man...
Nothing ever happens in that sport anyway, so there's no reason to watch it. You know what I'm saying? So you know what? This is good, because you finally spoke, and this is a great opportunity, especially for the people that are listening and not watching. So now let me introduce you officially, because they're like, wait, who's this? First time ever on Sherpa, unfamiliar voice, unless they tune into the spaces. But we've got the one and only Nicole Sangvi of hypernames.co, aka Hyperspace, aka Rowdy Roddy Hyper, aka Nickel 9, aka Nickel Plated, Sprinkle DNS on the floor, make it domain related. I didn't want to do the actual line from the song because Drew says we got to clean things up around here. But for those who don't know, Nicole is a London-based domain investor, data analyst, founded hypernames.co. Portfolio focused on high impact, memorable, and premium domain names, specializing short brandable domains, frequently share sales data and industry insights on X and on Name Pros. First time on the show. Nicole, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. So, long time listener, first time caller.
Love that.
It's really good to be here. I think it's just. I've been watching Sherpa for like years. I think everybody kind of starts with like an entry point into domains, either on a forum or on Sherpa or on DN Journal. And my brother-in-law once said to me a long time ago, he was like, oh yeah, you know, there's this thing called domain names. You know, there's DN Journal, there's Domain Sherpa at the time Mike was running it and doing the interviews. So it's deeply integrated, I think. Again, for a lot of people in the industry, it's like deeply integrated into my kind of like experience.
Your soul.
Yeah. I love it, man. I love it. Well, you know, speaking of Mike, big shout out to Mike. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago and he was the one who initially suggested getting you on and said, hey, you know, I love listening to that guy talk, you know, and he said it'd be great to get him on the show. And he actually wanted you on the show with him, but then we couldn't get the calendars to match. So it was like, nope. Sorry, Mike, you don't get the opportunity, but we get the benefit of getting Nicole on the show. And so it all kind of works out. And, you know, we love, you know, look, just getting new domainers, new-ish domainers or whatever, having success, they're creating names for themselves in the space, providing value. You know, and just good people, man. It's really, really all good. So very excited to have you on. And yeah, welcome. Welcome aboard. Welcome officially a Sherpa, you know, so it's all good.
Speaking about Mike, by the way, he's, you know, Notified Domains, his new product's pretty freaking cool, man.
Oh, it's super cool.
Yeah.
Really useful. Really cool resource. Excited for it. Excited for him.
Yeah.
I think he did a really great job.
I mean, I think if Tuff is a standalone tool, particularly in the domain industry where people are basically unwilling to pay, and, you know, let's just say you got roughly 300 to 500, like, full-time domainers that probably, you know, are professional enough that they're employing the use of a bunch of tools. They've got 3 to 5 tools that they pay subscriptions for, you know, maybe slightly more, probably not. And I think it's difficult to just have a singular tool that, to add to that stack. But I agree. What he's built here is really cool.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, it may not be the great, it may not end up a great business model. I'm not quite sure he cares. It may just, you know, it might be a tool that would have a lot more adoption if it wasn't free, if it was free rather, right?
Yeah. My guess is there's probably more value in it for him in actually tracking and locating and buying some really great names than there is in the actual subscription fees. But
I agree with that.
And I think, Drew,
how much is it a month? I don't remember.
I agree with that.
Do you know how much it is a month?
I think it was around $24 per domain per year, something like that.
Per domain?
I think so.
Per domain per year. So it's $2 a domain per month. And then you get like, and you get money, you know, you get a discount if you do 50 domains or more type of thing. So, you know, if you had a bunch of names that you were really trying to track, you know, you can end up, you know, it's a dollar or something to name after, you know, once you get up into the 50, 100 sort of level. And so, you know, you'd be paying a couple $100 a month maybe to potentially track hundreds of domains, depending on how you want to do it. You know, if you're managing.
Now, what I also want is a commitment, a public commitment from Michael. I love you, Michael. I trust you implicitly, but I think it's a good market signal to know that you're not seeing all this information at the back end and you're not getting the insight on what names we want and we're tracking and da 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 da, right? Because that's actually been my biggest concern with all of the domain tracking notification things over the years is that, like, you know, I don't like giving people, you know, my list and names that I'm tracking. You know, I've been building that list for 15, 20 years and I don't like giving it up. But I think it's an amazing tool. You know, it clearly is a more robust product around a very essential tool in this business.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? I take it back. You look at something like a .db and they were able to make it work. I don't know what kind of business that is or not, but .db has managed to make a business out of basically a singular tool. Now they've expanded it over the years a little bit, but, you know, basically it was a single function tool for the most part that, people have turned into an essential tool that they subscribe to.
Well, you know, real quick, because I think your view is interesting because, you know, you're looking at it like an angel investor, right? You're basically, your whole thing right from the get-go is like, it's an amazing tool.
Well, the reason I'm doing that is because I look about things like this all the time, thinking about, like, I've wanted to build domain tools for a very long time. In my first years in this business, I learned about domaintools.com. And were you an investor in that, Andrew?
I was not, but I also saw it early, very early on.
Yeah. And I
and a user
really, really deeply regretted that I never invested into that business. I know, you know, Amar did, Slavic did, a bunch of other guys did. And I know that it's worked out well. I mean, they have an unbelievable proprietary data set that nobody else has, as far as I know. And outside of like VeriSign. And it has worked out very well for them to the point where the domainer market, what used to be their core market, became basically a nuisance to them because the cybersecurity market became so big. I mean, every major law firm in America, well, probably globally, But every major law firm in America, particularly anybody that deals in any intellectual property, but also criminal attorneys, these guys all subscribe to this stuff. Law enforcement, government, they all subscribe because domain tools is, you know, it's just an absolutely essential tool for all of these different utilities. Now, it's a variety. It's a long list of tools. But it's all really based upon this data set that they've got. And that business just is so vanilla and sexy that I love it. I've always been like, it's been the business in the domain industry that I've always been like, fuck.
That's the first mover, right? I mean, yeah. Bottom line.
Well, hey, start tracking who is information, you know, in the early days and then never stop. Huh. And now you've got a proprietary data set, GDPR gets introduced, and now it's an essential data set that nobody else has got. So just phenomenal little business. And I've always had it in the back of my head, like, okay, you know, in particular, I've always wanted to build a valuation tool. I'm a competitor for Estimat, which said, you know, I've never felt that Estimat did a very good job. I think they provide a bunch of good data points, but I don't think they do a very good job of actually estimating the value of a domain. I think that my algorithm is exceptionally good at valuing a domain. I've just never been able to turn that into a tool. Although we now are pretty close to doing, I mean, internally we have that now, but I haven't decided in if it's worthwhile to turn into a separate tool. You've got, you know, praise.net now, and you've got a bunch of tools out there that
how close are you, Drew? I know you guys talked about praise.net extensively.
Yeah, I mean we've got the algorithm is done. I mean we use it internally. And now, you know, we basically it's done. So it's just a matter of building a UX, if we wanted to put a UX on the front of it and then let people, you know, either subscribe or pay per. Actually, what we wanted to do was pay per appraisal, not subscribe.
And how close are your appraisals to appraise.net?
Oops, sorry.
There you go. Thank you. Only saw your mouth.
Appraise.net is on the high side. You know, and
he's
asking like what, so our internal appraisal numbers, what they look like when you compare them to appraise.net or something like that. Ours are more conservative, I think, than
ours are more conservative. Yeah.
You know, appraise.net's on the high side, I think.
Yeah. I think appraise.net is like, I think they do a really good job. I don't know how the sauce is made, but, I think they're doing a good job. It tends to overshoot. As Chris kind of elucidates sometimes, there's like these five buckets of buyers. There's really only two or three that matter. The first two are really the ones that matter the most. And the first one is 10x more valuable than the second one, right? And so an appraisal really needs to account for that. And the only time you're going to get that value that, let's say, appraise.net is giving you is if you have a buyer that's in that first bucket, it's perfect timing. They're on the back of a financial raise. The market is in an uptrend. The industry is in the uptrend. You know, you need like all those stars to align. And then, yes, that is the value. That's sort of, you know, that's a subjective value for this domain name. And what our algorithm does, arguably better, is giving you a objective value. And that's always been what I've been striving for. And I think that's actually really what our industry needs. Subjective value is, it's subjective. I mean, it's based on a bunch of moving variables that are not constant. And it's most importantly, subject to who's the buyer. And you don't know that with most domain names. Now, there are sometimes you have a domain, there's a really hot buyer, you know they're going to ultimately buy the domain. And so you can do a sort of, you know, call it subjective value, but it's more objective than normal because of the circumstances. But generally speaking, what we really need is an objective valuation that can be used for lending, an objective valuation that can be used as an anchor point for negotiation. The subjective variables come on top of that objective valuation. It's like, hey, you just raised $100 million. You're not going to get it for this price. It's going to be more. You know, whatever the time, it could also go the other way, right? It's those subjective value variables will adjust the price within a parameter, but the anchor point is the objective value. And that's a data-driven thing. And so
you're not going to like my, go ahead.
So anyways, I think that, now I am fully cognizant of the fact that domain names almost 0% of the time sell for their objective value. And they 100% of the time, by definition, every time they sell for the subjective value. And very few times do those meet. But I think that the objective value is literally the single most key thing missing in our industry to allow it to expand at scale. And the reason is what I've said for many, many years, probably 2 decades now, and that is lending. It's very difficult to do lending in the domain space because of the spread between wholesale and end user pricing. And that spread is closing, but it's still a huge spread. And in addition to the spread, unless you're, you know, a handful of people in our industry, you don't know your elbow from your asshole in terms of what this domain is worth or what's in liquid, you know. And so, anyways, that's a very long answer to your question.
And my quick answer or retort to that, which you're not going to want to hear, is, I mean, first of all, I agree with everything you said, like 100%. So, and when I do it up, you know, I do appraisals a handful a year. I charge a lot of money for them because I don't, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
You know, 5 figures plus. But, you know, it's usually for someone who wants to use it for an IRS purpose, tax purposes.
Yeah.
501c3, donation, sometimes borrowing money. But look, at the end of the day, you know, in the school of be careful what we wish for, you know, the more, I do believe, and I agree on the objective subjective, but I do believe there's another piece of this, which is appraisals are somewhat worth, comparables and appraisals both are somewhat worth, you know, the same thing as the toilet paper hanging next to you in the bathroom, which is, you know, the wild card. And you know, if this were just real estate or homes, then we have a scientific method, appraisals, comparables based on various factors, bedroom size, you know. One of the beautiful things about this asset class is it is subjective, and it is really, you know, what is a seller willing to sell a domain for, and what is a buyer willing to pay for it? And while there may be one buyer not willing to pay $500,000, and there may be another buyer willing to pay $10 million because they know why, to them, they have a path in their mind or in reality to $1 billion, $2 billion. And if they do, the return for them at $10 million is no different than someone else with no plan at $500 million because an appraisal tells them to do that, if that makes sense. Yeah. And, you know, the minute we become a commodity, like other assets out there have, like IP addresses, real estate, the minute we become scientific or a commodity, you know, the high end of the market, again, it's very, you'd be leaving a lot of money on the table because.
No,
again,
listen, yeah, listen, just stop. Think about it. Okay. Your original company was internet real estate. Okay. You basically coined the freaking term. Think about the real estate market, right? Yes, there are commodities. There's the single bedroom, inner city, you know, 900 square foot apartment, right? That's a commodity. It's 1-2 bedroom apartment. That's a commodity. You can, they're all the same. But that's got nothing to do with the 5-bedroom penthouse with the view on the park, right? And so, you know, yes, I think it's important actually that some element of this market is commoditized. I think it's important that, you know, look, the trade-off, what you're saying is, the trade-off is that the closer the subjective and the objective value get, the less, you know, spread there is, the less profit opportunity there is, except for those who have held for years. But what you get for that is higher liquidity, right? So smaller spreads, but higher liquidity.
No question.
So I don't know. I don't necessarily, obviously I'm biased because I've got a huge portfolio that I've, you know, had for decades. And so, you know, I want more liquidity and less volatility, but I understand both sides, but I think that lower volatility and higher liquidity by means of a very clear objective valuation data point is an essential element to the growth of this market.
I think also, aside to say from the top end of the premium domains, a lot of beginners, and I think everyone does it when they start in domains, is rely way too heavily on the subjective side and not necessarily on... it's that idea of, yeah, look, I don't want to undersell my name because there might be someone out there willing to pay $10 million for it, but they don't bring the probability of, you know, especially on names that you're buying from hand registration to like a couple of thousand, your probability of getting that million or 10 million on it is like super small. So I think when we're kind of also explaining, okay, the subjective versus objective, a lot of it, Andrew, you said it comes down to the circumstances of the seller as well as Drew, like
your buyer,
different buyer groups. Yeah. But for beginners, I think it's way easier to, if in doubt, bank on the objective side. And I think that's where appraise.net could, and evaluation tools or valuation tools are helpful, because I think Leo put out a post this week to say, hey, look, I'm basically trying to show the top highest potential value for the name. And then you factor in what type of sell-through rate you're aiming for, what your strategy is as an investor. Are you looking to have a higher sell-through rate? Are you looking to basically maximize each domain value? Or are you looking to maximize portfolio value? Or are you just looking for a really aggressive strategy for churning through as much domains as you can? So even investor to investor, we all end up with different strategies for different parts of our portfolio. So it's good to kind of... I guess some of these tools on your kind of average inventory level names, it's a really good way to be able to indicate, okay, which domains stand out, what's the rough difference of them, what rough range are they in? And then you've got a whole bunch of stuff as an investor that you're going to lay on top about your own circumstances and your own strategy.
I agree with that too. I think that, you know, I think Drew and I both have had this experience many, many, many times, which is, you know, what you can't measure in any tool, appraisal tool of any kind, algorithm, is, I don't want to call it the emotion, but the utility, like what, you know, and sometimes people bet and they bet wrong. I've done it myself many times, right, on my own businesses. But I mean, well, you know, what is, if I buy that domain and it's going to cost me $10 million, even though maybe it should only cost me $2 million, but I know my value, measurable utility and value out of that, however I measure it, enterprise value, foundation, funding valuation, all these stuff, is $500 million, well, then you should pay 10 and not lose it. You should pay 12, right? There is always a beta. And I think that the hard part to measure is, and many, many times people make that mistake, right? Because a great domain name, as I always say, will not save a shitty product or a shitty business, but it will elevate a great one. And, you know, I had a recent transaction that was in the news, right? The club.com one for $10 million, right? And the buyer, you know, I can tell you they're already a unicorn, right? So they needed it, and it was worth every bit of that to them for what they were buying it for behind the scenes already established. And so every situation, it would never have been, you know, name you thought of for that. So I think we've both had these experiences. I think that some degree, there are sellers who clearly have false expectations, certainly even more so in the last year or two, false expectations of what their domain is worth. We've seen it forever, but we really see it now. And that false expectation probably means they're never going to sell it unless they adjust. But then again, on the flip side, you know, outlier deals happen when a buyer has the utility, the value, they know what they're going to do with it enough that they're going to get, again, if you know you're going to get if you have the capital, you know you're going to get a 10, 20, 50, 100x return for your business over time by being that and not having a second choice that's better or equal, then why wouldn't you pay it? And sometimes you do.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, look, but I think that
all of that is subjective.
All of that is subjective, but it might be more objective to that one buyer behind the scenes in their own analysis.
That in particular makes it subjective, right? So that's I guess what I'm trying to say is that
I agree with that.
We need a starting point. We need a starting point that we can agree both sides. You know, you don't want to pay me for the domain. I want to sell it for more than you're willing to pay. We need a place to start. And that starting point is an objective value. And then from there, we can work up or we can work down based on the subjective variables.
And look, you know,
in that particular domain, in this particular situation. But I think just to address one thing that Nicole said, I put out a video this week kind of addressing this. I said, you know, until you know who the buyer is for a domain, okay, or until you have a potential buyer or you've made a hit list of your potential buyers, until you've identified who is the actual buyer, until you're literally evaluating a particular company for a particular domain, it is impossible to identify what is the upper limit of what the domain could sell for. It is impossible to judge what the subjective value of that domain is, because by definition, that domain name has a specific value to that particular company. It could be dog shit, or it could be, you know, the golden egg. This is the trouble I have with all appraisal tools, is in my opinion, and the reason I've harped on this for over a decade, is that I don't think that an appraisal tool is useful unless, I think it's just literally mental masturbation, unless we are discussing a particular buyer. Like if I enter xyz.com and the buyer I want to sell to is xyzcorporation.com. In fact, maybe this is a tool that we should build, but xyz.com sells to xyzcorporation. How much is that domain worth? And then what it's going to do is look at the market cap of that company, or how much money did they raise? What is their growth trajectory? And it's going to evaluate very quickly. Okay, they raised $10 million and they're growing at, I don't know, 50% MRR, and they've got, you know, whatever, right? And so you can say, okay, great. So they're in high growth trajectory. They've got $10 million in the bank. They're probably raising the next round at 50 to 100. And they need this name because they're in extreme high growth, right? Great. So you've got a high leverage situation, a company that's got $10 million in cash, more or less, roughly, right? Let's say. And generally speaking, their investors are going to allow them to spend half a point to maximum 2 points in most cases. Now that is adjustable. I think that
half
is starting
to
adjust
up. Points of the 10 million, Drew, or half a point?
Yes, of the 10 million.
Of the 50 to 100 coming.
Of the 10 million.
Okay.
But again, it's so many variables, right? So where are they? Did they raise that 6, 8, 9 months ago, where they're probably already in discussion for the next round, where that next tranche it'll actually be coming out of the next tranche, which is 5-10x bigger. Yeah, there's a lot of variables to take into consideration that require a lot of like actual deep analysis of the company you're addressing, more so than the domain name. And so
what percentage of names, even though you guys play at different levels, so I'm thinking through my own inventory, and I could probably say like less than 10% of it has a specific buyer or a specific group of buyers where I think, okay, this is the target market, and I could do that type of evaluation for probably like 80-90% of my inventory, especially the stuff under 10K. You have no idea.
No, you're playing domain bingo.
Yeah. I think you're playing a numbers
domain bingo.
You've got to calculate.
Like, look, if you're selling,
I mean, if you want, you can say you're playing domain roulette, and then, you know, it's like, well, I've got a strategy, or you know what I mean.
Look, but now you're talking about
it's still a game of luck. You're looking for emergent buyers that, you know, are going to buy your domain name on a whim, and we also have a shit ton of data to support what do domains sell for in that situation. And the answer is 2,500 to 25,000 with a very high concentration between 3,500 and 15,000. That's the price.
With a sell through rate of 1 to 2%, right?
Exactly.
So if you have, so, you know, and again, I think, you know, when you're talking about, you know,
the difference between selling a one-bedroom studio or a three-bedroom house in a $2 million neighborhood or a $45 million house, right? I mean, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different pool of buyers. It's a whole different approach, right? And, you know, once you get to a, no one's going to spend, I say this all the time, you live in a neighborhood of $2 to $2.5 million homes. No one's going to spend $10 million for your home ever, okay? They're going to go to the $10 million neighborhood. But if they want to spend $10 million for a home, they're not going to pay $8 million more for a house in a $2 million neighborhood. But with domains, that goes out the window, and you're more, it's like once you get up to that crate in the real estate, to that, you know, crazy level of home at the higher end of the market, yeah, somebody might pay $20 million over ask because it was formerly Michael Jackson's house or whatever, you know, whatever it was, right? You're getting into
it. Or it's just the perfect house for, you know, somebody's wife. House. They say, well,
it has a amazing gym and, you know, yeah. I mean, there's all kinds. So it's hard to compare, you know, there's different buckets of domains, right? We've all been in all of them. But I think when you talk about the $10,000 and down stuff, you're talking about, like Drew said, 3 to 5, 15,000. You're talking about making sure that you're selling 1 to 2% a year, you know, however they sell, right? You know, if you're 2%, you're doing great. If you're 1%, you need to step it up a little bit. If you're below 1%, you have a problem, right? I mean, that's just the reality. There's no sell-through rate in our business.
No, and I think that all that makes, you know, makes a ton of sense. And we started on this conversation in the first place, just talking about the different appraisal tools in general, and then segued into domain pricing and just all that kind of stuff. And then this all started with a conversation about Mike Seiger's new tool, Notified.domains, which, again, the point I was making about 3 hours ago when we first started talking about it was just that Drew's take on it is interesting, because he was very complimentary of the tool, but saying, like, wasn't sure if the overall business plan makes a ton of sense, or if it's just how exciting or interesting, almost like as it would be to an outside investor thinking of investing in the business, when that's, in my opinion, not exactly the question we're looking at, because I don't know if Mike cares about that. I think he's a combination of a labor of love. He loves domains. Yeah, he loves domain tooling.
That's fair. Yeah.
And
by the way, you did a very good job as the host of rating us back in here, JT.
Boom. Perhaps. All just like putting a fishing line back into the pole. You know what I'm saying? And
this is what you're supposed to do.
Well, at the end of the day, I think it's probably one of the most important conversations in domain names. And I
agree. Amazing.
All listeners appreciate this discussion.
And I thought this was awesome. Domain pricing is huge for everyone. And you're talking, and you know, Nicole kind of started us on this talking about new domainers and how they, you know, price domains and their expectations and how they get started in the space to, you know, figure out if they can, you know, how they're going to actually end up selling, buying and then selling domains, right? And coming in with unrealistic expectations that I'm going to hand register a bunch of pigeon shit, to quote Rick Schwartz, and then go and, you know, price it at millions of dollars per domain, you're just going to lose whatever money you put in. And then it gets worse even as you start spending real money on domains, and you're probably, you know, as, you know, Drew, when, you know, everybody at some point, you know, learns the lesson the hard way by spending a lot of money on domains that are not worth what you're spending because there are no buyers out there, right? So it's like, and without buyers, you know, your prices are unrealistic, and, you know, at the end of the day, it, you know, big old waste of time and a lot of failure, but, you know, you can withstand
the rite of passage.
I could do 20 shows on this topic, you know, for 2 hours each. I mean, this is
it's what we've done. If you think about it, if you go back through the, you know, the archives, how many of the same conversation,
but it's in a row.
Getting you guys and your perspective on this is very important, because again, it's all about educating new folks or just folks that would need to refine what they do, because, you know, and everybody's goals are different. Everybody's circumstances are different, but you know, you need data, you need, you know, information, expertise, and you get that from where you can in order to make it easier and more successful for yourself. So great stuff. Great way to kick off the show with, and it's actual domain talk. Look, it wasn't like it was a tangent about, you know, basketball, which I tried, but you guys shot me down. And but shout out to Villanova though, and shout out to the Knicks. We'll see, even though they beat up the Sixers, we'll see what happens. All right, let's move on to the domain game and keep it moving with some domain talk. And Drew, we'll go with you first and see what you got by way of a buy or a sell.
Okay, I actually had one in mind, and I just forgot what it was. Hold up. What was it? Hold up.
Hold up. Hey.
Older. Hey. It was... What was it? Oh, I know. It was hardwire.com. Hardwire.com. Sell.
Yep. I'm out on this because I know the sales price.
And, do you?
I do. Yeah, man.
What's the domain again, Drew?
Hardwire.com.
Hardwire.com.
Does it have a D? Does it have a D on the end or is it just one?
No. No D. HARDWIRE.
And this is
Hardwire.
Sale. A little sale from our portfolio.
Oh, Drew, check your inbox. In the meantime, we just sold another name. Although this is for someone else, but.
All right.
All right. You guys got your numbers?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go flip the phones and let's see what we're looking
at. Boom. Sold another name.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Miller's at 14,275 and Nichols at 55,000.
You knew about this already?
I did. Yeah. I was aware of this one, so I can't participate. So I can tell you that Nichols was like,
You do know?
Yeah, dude, because we just did the financials. It was in last month's numbers.
Oh, I thought it was this month. Okay. That must have been like the last day in a month or something.
Who won?
Yeah.
Anyways, Nichols won.
Bang.
And he was only 10% over. It was 50 grand. 50 grand.
Yeah. Boom. Nice work. Look at that. Showing up.
The only reason I got beaten into the 14 number, but with your $3,500 to $15,000 range earlier.
I mean, Hardwire is a real thing.
I know. I wouldn't have normally said that.
But. Do you know what type of buyer it is?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't even think about it, or I never even look unless they paid like at least $500,000.
It's not live yet. There's no live site, so unclear.
I'll tell you, the God's honest truth is I used to look at every sale. And then over time, I realized that literally, I think it's like 95% of the domains that we sell. Doesn't even matter the price. We sold domains. Go look at digital.com. I sold digital.com for an absurd price. Stupid money. And there's no website on it. I mean, we sell these things. We sell these domains all the time. And I only see it happen because I looked the other day. I was like, oh, I wonder what they ever did with that. Nope, nothing. You know, like, we sell domains. And I'm telling you, 90, 95%, they never get turned into anything. It's crazy.
Hey, Billy, edit out the stupid money comment. I mean, imagine like the buyer you paid a lot for it and the guy who sold it to you called it stupid money. I know you're using stupid money as a slang term. But
yeah,
it was a lot of money. It was a lot. You know, and as it should have been, because it's an amazing domain.
As it should have
been.
So
they paid an appropriate price. The issue is not what they paid.
It's digital.com. It's a stupid domain. It's a crazy name.
Yeah, it's not that they paid a stupid price for the domain. It's they paid an accurate, adequate, reasonable value for the domain. It's just the fact that they didn't
I'm not a smoke blower. I call things balls and strikes as I see them. They paid a stupid money price. It doesn't mean it was a stupid purchase.
I understand. I was kidding. You know, but it's an amazing domain.
I hear you. And I appreciate that.
It's an amazing domain.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean, one of the best.
One of the best.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff.
All right. One point for the new guy.
For the new guy, man. Boom. Right. Let's go.
Hey, now just a little piece of advice for you. If you win, it's going to be like 4 years before you get your prize.
I don't know.
Are you going to be
a
NAFCON?
I'm a CEO. We don't even do international shipping to me, so you're going to have to wait till NAFCON or something.
We'll send you the
logo file.
Or we're going to start doing like Saigar used to do throwing these off, the cups, the coffee mugs.
Yeah.
We'll send you a digital a 3D printing file. For you to print like
digital.com, nonetheless.
Yeah. For you to print a Sherpa mug. All right. Well, Miller, you're up with the name. And
all right. This is hot off the press's recent woke up to it sale.
Okay.
Nice. So timing was good. Not today, but yesterday. I'll give a little backstory. I hand registered a bunch of stuff during COVID, right? I went, like everybody probably did. I went looking around for things that were relevant. And one of those domains was WFHemployment.com.
Oh, okay.
I stuck it up and forgot about I even owned it.
for since 2021, and I woke up to a transaction. So WFH employment, as in work from home employment, WFHemployment.com.
I like that. All right. All right.
Wait, hold up. Sorry. Can't even get rid of this stupid. Okay. So.
WFH
employment.
Like work from home employment.
Yeah. Employment. Okay.
I'm going to throw the Jeopardy music on this guy in a second.
Hold on. Give me,
All right. Here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. All right. Oh, you got, Nichols at 4,500. I'm at 5,000. Drew's at 7,300.
I forget. Is this the price that is right? Can you be over?
Yeah. Closest to the pin.
Yeah, just closest.
Closest to the pin. So it's a tight race between Drew, you're a little high. JT JT will get his point because it was 48.50.
Let's go.
Yeah, you know, my mind, I felt like
that. Anybody who knows me knows I never price my personal names at around like 100, like 4,500, 5,000. I always do some random 48.50 or 39.75. So just for the future. 48.50, yep.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, that to me, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. So was that a hand reg around COVID? And then,
yeah,
so
it was a hand reg. 4 year. Yeah, 5 year hand reg.
I mean, we tried to sell workfromhome.com and workfromhome.com for like for years. It was shocking. I mean, you know, the problem is though, is if you're talking about work from home, like who's the buyer, right? Like, what are you doing? You're selling services and products to the people that work at home. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's called Zoom. So yeah. I don't
recruiters. I don't know.
No, yours makes more sense. Work from home employment. You know,
yes,
probably recruiters or somebody, a job board for people that want to look for jobs.
You know, I went on a bender one night. You know, during COVID, looking for, trying to hand register a bunch of stuff, and probably read. You know, I did a bunch of like I own like distance socially things like that. Right, like. Yeah. Instead of, you know, whatever I could find and did, and, you know, I've sold like two of them and the rest of them will probably sit here forever. But yeah, whatever. thank God, because that's kind of all, only path. Well, as long as this, no hantavirus comes.
You're getting some hantavirus
percolating out there in the world.
We shall see. Stop it.
We're not going to propagate any of their fear mongering. Hantavirus is a non-contagious bullshit.
Yeah.
They made up to try and control us and lock us in our homes. It's already starting. You can see it in France. Don't give in. Tell these guys to go pound sand and eat my balls.
Okay. Well, and I would agree.
That's and again, cleaning up the show.
That
you did a good job.
Terrorist that runs the.
You said no bad language, no political rants, no conspiracy theories.
My balls. That's okay.
Terrorist that runs the World Health Organization should get.
It's like, that's it. You know, like, we did good. We made it a certain, we made it so far, it's fine. No, but hey, I do agree. Let's go 1-1. All right, Nicole, now you've got a name. You've got to put yours up. I took technically a round off because, this way I don't get an extra round, so it's fair. Otherwise I usually get an extra round because I don't put a name up, but yet I guess, so but go ahead.
I've got a .so domain, so it's okay. It's Somalia. Kind of throw you guys off a little bit. .so it gets used for I wouldn't say too much. Space.so.
Oh, space! If you're gonna have a .so, you might as well put space in front.
Yeah. So space.so.
Wow! I am out of my realm. Good.
Space.
I am out of my realm on this one, man.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start, but. I'm gonna try.
I'm out of my realm.
Space.
I don't want to embarrass myself, but I'm out of my realm. This is a good educational experience.
All right, here we go. Ready?
3, 2, 1. Flip it. Okay, so Drew's at 5,369. Miller's at 9,750. I'm at 12,500.
I think JT takes it for
hey!
domain. What up?
Damn, son.
Getting $12,000 for them worthless domains. Yeah. I like it.
$12,000 on the dot.
Wow.
It was just a buy it now. Someone just, no negotiation. I had it. I think I had it a bit lower and I bumped it up because I was like, oh, it's getting some decent traffic.
Yep.
And then recently there's been so much about space and, you know, data centers in space. And I think those types of names have been moving pretty well.
For sure. Trend-wise, I think it makes a lot of sense. How long had you had it and how did you acquire it? Did you hand reg it? Did you buy it?
Yeah. So it was a hand registration. I think I paid about $57. They're around that range, $56, $57, 3 years ago. Oh, no, sorry, 4 years ago. So it had three renewals. I'm maybe like $230 all in, okay, including renewals. These, .so aren't like great investments in the sense of like, I don't look at them and think, I'm going to hold on to them forever. But as a kind of bucket, they do pretty well. Their renewals are high, but they pay for themselves and they're pretty good earners, I think around 4% sell through for that chunk of names.
That's pretty cool. So how many do you have a lot of .so domains?
I think maybe somewhere around 450.
Oh, okay. So
yes.
How many names That's in your good. Portfolio total?
1,700. So.
Okay. That's pretty solid. And then how many of those, like percentage wise, because, you know, I was going to ask some of these questions in the beginning, but we got off on whatever topic we got off on. But so how much of the stuff that you invest in is non-com, you think?
So just to give you an idea of like, even looking through this, looking through the NameJet list, I felt kind of out of my comfort zone because in the last maybe like, I was looking earlier, since 2020, I've only sold maybe like 7 dot-coms. So about one a year I sell.
Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
they're like maybe less than 10% of my portfolio. Mostly I'm across everything else. So .org, .io, .co, .gg, .so.
I was going to say, you know, and I've been following you for a while and your sort of activity kind of reminds me of like Logan Flat. I don't know if, you know, you and Logan seem to be very much in a similar lane as far as like the names that you guys, like when I see you talk about a sale or just some of the different data and stuff that you share or talk about, you know, and, you know, kind of very much in those niche, like, you know, non-coms, but in a very like kind of productive way, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? You guys are doing some pretty cool things and like, you know. Again, space.so is a very, very cool domain name, you know, and it's interesting.
That's
a ching. That's a win, baby. 12,000.
Yeah, that's I kind of feel like the dot-coms that I really like are normally way out of my budget. And the types of SLDs and the types of domains I like where I can kind of make money on some of the alternate extensions, I can then roll that capital upwards towards dot-coms that I really want to hold on to or dot-coms I want to buy it. Kind of cool. Push those for a bit more for like the long term.
Yep, that makes sense. Well, good stuff. Well, look, a win for you to hand reg that and sell it for 12,000. And then, but an even bigger win for me to win the domain game again, 3 weeks out of four. We got JT winning the domain game. And I didn't even participate in the first round. You know what I mean? So, all you conspiracy theory haters, nobody in particular, Sean Markey, but you know, that's what it is. Billy, give me some fireworks and grab all the noise the Sixers did not hear during the Sixers Knicks series, you know what I'm saying? Not only was that so bad, but I don't know if you guys saw some of the clips, but like the Knicks fans effectively taking over like the Sixers like arena, and it was like a Knicks home, they were like Knicks home games for them, you know.
If you go to most arenas when the Celtics play, you'll realize that it's, yeah, most arenas are Celtics arenas.
Yeah, well, no, I'll buy that. And but this was, you know, the Knicks definitely.
Not Philly.
The Knicks come right down the turnpike, and you know, the Eagles fans travel. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles fans travel very well. So whenever we're, you know,
I'll be in. I was happy about one thing. I will be Saturday night. I will be at excited. I will be at MSG for the Springsteen show with our friend Larry Fisher and our kids and our sons. And
cool.
You know, there was talk about moving the show based on the Knicks schedule, because the Knicks, there was an asterisk on this concert date because Knicks own the arena, right? And and there was an asterisk, and they left where it would have been moved to like end of May. And so I was happy to see the series over with and my concert to go on a scheduled Saturday here.
There we go, dude. Let's get it. That sounds like a great show.
They moved the Philly show, by the way, for the same reason. The Philly show was May 8th, and they had to bump it for the Sixers to May 30th. So same thing happened. The script of sports prevailed.
The script of sports, yes. The script of sports, as Drew would say.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
All good stuff. All right, well, good stuff on the domain game. So now let's move over to the Name Jack and a Jet segment, sponsored by Name Jet. We review a list of domains coming up for auction, see what the Sherpas like, what they don't like. You can go to domainsherpa.com and you can check out the list where pull the Excel spreadsheet, which has the list of domains, the age of the domains, how many back orders, minimum bid, order by date, all that good stuff. Not financial.
Another
advice.
Great tool.
So, but along with the appraise.net appraisal as well. In fact, that's one thing that I'm going to do really quick while we're here is I'm going to throw the names from today's show and into the appraise.net tool. And we'll include those in the show notes as well as far as what they say. So I'm going to do that. I'm actually going to throw those in there right now since it's so quick and easy to do these appraisals. So funny. We don't get paid like extra to do like to use the tool and all that, but I actually really do like it. And so space.so, by the way, the appraise.net value is 85,000. So 85 grand is what they said. That's
how much money you left on the table, Nickel?
I know.
It's subjective for you.
Yeah.
Very subjective.
Anyway.
But,
have a little cup of subjectivity.
Hey.
Do you know, I just a bit of a detour, but I think the other thing that we forget about when we're talking about subjectivity and objectivity is like the role of capital and the role of money and letting it compound, you know, just getting names churning and being able to reinvest that as well. So,
been preaching it for years.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got a domain, you got a $200,000 offer, but you want $1 million, but you're going to sit on the name for the next 20 years till you maybe one day on a 2% chance get that price. Well, guess what? Take 200 now, invest it in anything reasonable, and over the next decade, you're going to have well over $1 million. So I don't know.
By the way, OpenAI, Claude, et cetera, interestingly enough, really, if you have any basic finance, has really, in my opinion, game-changingly invented the wheel of what we're talking about, because you could literally type it in, should I take $200,000 today at a 10, I can get 10% in the stock market at a 10% discount rate, or should I wait to sell my domain in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years for X? And within 2 seconds, OpenAI will tell you exactly what the right answer is based on whatever.
Better than that, I did this morning. I took my entire portfolio, all the weightings, everything. I put it in. And I said, you are the, number one all-knowing hedge fund manager. You're the most elite hedge fund manager in the world. You have complete domain knowledge over all things related to each of these companies. You understand the market dynamics of each of these companies in their industry, the trend line, the growth opportunities, the black swan potentials on the horizon. Take all of that into account. And I want you to analyze this portfolio for this current moment in time. And I want you to tell me what I should trim, what I should add, how much cash I should be sitting on relative to the remainder of the portfolio, and where should I park that cash for short-term 30, 60, and 90-day opportunities to deploy. You cannot believe this thing gave me the most, unbelievable analysis. And I would say I executed on about 70%. Let's call it two thirds. probably more. I probably executed on 75% of the recommendations that it gave me. And the only ones I didn't execute were selling certain positions because I owned them for, you know, weird reasons that wouldn't have been accounted for. And
the subjective piece.
Yeah. I mean, I even cut a bunch of my option positions. It was unbelievable. It was like certain, you know, analyze it also from like certain tax loss perspectives. Like, yes, even though you may have a potential 10% upside on this one, it's actually better to just take the tax loss now, and then look at it again in the fall because the probability over the next 90 days that it's going to go down is higher. Yeah, it was phenomenal. Super.
And I just threw in, for a domain transaction that I just sold for, you know, a lot of money for a client, and they owned it for a long time. And I threw in the price, and bottom line is there basically was an annualized return of 29.73%, right? For this domain name, for what they sold it for based on the amount of years they held it. And if you look backwards, and you know, that's going to beat beat anything you would ever do probably in the markets or anything else annualized, right? Other than it's something really extreme. So, you know, it's just an amazing tool. You know, if you get an offer on something and you say, let's just say the S&P is 10%, use that as your number and like throw it in and, you know, just say, what should I do? And how long do I need to wait? And what would I need to get? And I think, to Drew's point, you know, it's going to tell you to sell the domain name a lot of the times. I mean, more times than not, it's going to say, take your money and run.
It really is shocking, though, that how few people get that.
They just don't understand.
It really is. I see people say no to a domain sale because they want, you know, we're talking about an extra 10% or an extra 15%. And, you know, look, I don't bullshit. I don't blow smoke up people's ass. I tell you straight up, sorry, this is the best offer my client is going to make. You decide. I mean, I'm not, it's your domain. I can't twist your arm. But what I can tell
you, plug that not
is exactly what Andrew just said, take the money, invest it.
Plug it in the cloud, throw in 10% discount rate, and see what it's worth in 3 years compared to what you're trying to get for the domain.
And you're going to be shocked, and you're going to
Be ahead 100% of the time.
Yes, hell yes. Send me the money, please. Here's the domain. That's what you're going to say. But people don't get it.
Basic math, baby.
It's interesting. And this actually dovetails pretty nicely into the conversation that you guys were having earlier regarding domain pricing and sell-through rate and the idea of like, you know, and when you talk about, Nicole, we talk about this on a lot of shows as well, with just the idea of like, you know, taking the money off the table when you can and compounding that into more names and just other opportunities. And sometimes it's just, you know,
we've all had domains that we've sold for a ton that we all would have said, wow, like, you know, can't believe we sold that for 10 million in cash. We thought it could have been two. Okay. But what I always like to say is, you know, there are outliers. They happen. I think Drew, you and I have probably had more outliers than anybody or up there. But with that said, do you want to play Powerball? Because, you know, the odds of you winning a lottery ticket in Powerball are not very good. Or do you want to play, you know, business, right? And, it, you know, you can always play Powerball, but know you're playing it. And once in a while, you know, Powerball tickets cash.
Yeah, well, I think there's also, you know, some interesting things, too, where you look at somebody like, you know, Josh. And, you know, we talked about this, too, which is, you know, not just about the idea about the risk of what happens if you don't do it, right? And then you just, you know, but I think when you work with sellers enough and you see sellers make the mistake of not selling when they should, you know, I think we're in an interesting position, right, to have domains, to also be working with so many buyers and sellers of domains, that you kind of realize the mistakes they make and then you try not to make those same mistakes with your own, you know, your own domains. Because, you know, and especially when you're dealing with trends, right? You know, space.so, you know, the name you sold into a trend. The trend is your friend, no, Chris would say. And when you don't sell into those trends, and we saw it with NFT and metaverse domains, we had clients that had, you know, seven-figure offers on the table for domains that are now worth five figures, maybe, you know? And it's just that didn't sell. And it's like, how you feel now, you know, after all that, like, you know, that's tough. They were playing Powerball thinking, nope, number only going to go up. And especially when you're dealing with less of the timeless kind of domains, the generic oneword.coms and things like that, and you're talking about more of the trend-based domains, you miss out on real opportunity if you're too short-sighted and you're out, you know, you don't weigh your opportunity costs and your other, you know, the other opportunities that you have with that capital. So it's you know, all good stuff, guys. So yeah. So all right, well, with that, let's talk about some more domains. Let's talk about these NameJet domains. And Miller, since you went second in the domain game, I'll let you go first here with the list.
I love when I get to go first in NameJet. All right. Well, first of all, the obvious, elephant in the room is concentration.com. Mm. I mean, you know, talk about generic, you know, one word domains. I mean, it's be interesting to see what happens there. obviously, it's, you know, clearly my favorite on the list for all the obvious reasons for what I do. And, you know, I expect that will not materialize, or if it does, it will turn into a bidding situation where it gets overpriced and overpaid for. I was kind of surprised to see it on the list, honestly. I mean, you don't see too many concentration.coms on this list. So that was my first one. And then the only other two that jumped out at me was not my favorite list of most past shows, but I thought, I'm going to read how Aero Plus was interesting for no other reason than, you know, I think I get an email every single day from this brand, Aeropostale, every day.
Mm-hmm. I hate them.
It's like every day, even though I unsubscribed, it still comes. And
listen, this is what people don't know. If you unsubscribe, you get more. You don't get less.
Exactly.
The more you can't click unsubscribe, you gotta blacklist.
Block. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway,
you unsubscribe, they just say, oh, and then they go and they sell it and then they put you on more mailing lists.
Yep. Aero, you know, it was kind of a cool, I think it's kind of a cool little name. And then the other one, which again, these are only more by association, was Pearly. Spelled a little strange, but Pearly.com, because, you know, for us deadheads, the term Pearly Baker's Best is a legendary line from the song Wharf Rat, sung by Jerry Garcia with emotion. And everyone speculates what Pearly spelled P-E-A-R-L-Y, Pearly Baker's is it a moonshine? Is it a fictional person? It's nothing real. So it made me think of that. But to me, concentration.com is the elephant in the room on the list today.
Okay.
Well, yeah. What type of price do you think a name like Concentration would go for at kind of wholesale and then retail?
I think it goes for about $125,000 in an auction, and meaning $125,000.
You're assuming that there's no end users who get wind of it and bid.
You can't rule out anymore, but it's still an exception that end users participate and not.
Correct. Unless you have someone, you know, trying to front run it and go to winning. I think.
Well, here's one of the big differences.
I think you're a little low on that.
It's
a very
interesting observation that it's strange to me that NameJet with their registrar partners hasn't executed this yet. But like Dropcatch, for example, when a domain name expires and goes to a Dropcatch auction, the domain name literally points to the auction. And so anybody that visits the domain sees, oh my God, this domain's an auction. Gotcha. I can immediately bid. If you go to a domain name that's expired that's on NameJet, it's just a park page. And there's like a little bit of link. And it used to be efficient. The link
it's
used
less
to go
intuitive
to NameJet, but now it doesn't. Now it goes to Network Solutions. And then from Network Solutions, there's another link. And it's not clear. It's not clean. Nobody really understands. And most people won't click, right? So I think, you know, parking's basically dead. And so I think it's very silly that any of these platforms aren't doing a direct URL forward of every expired domain directly to their, you know, backorder and auction page, because that would drive more end users into the market.
Yeah. Well, I have a little bit of insight into that. You know, that's still a holdover from when NameJet was, you know, arm's length from all of its registrar partners, right? But now that it's all under the same umbrella, I would agree with you. It would just make sense to push it to the auction as opposed to push it to a park page that, you know, doesn't really do much. So
well, also the other thing that's changed since then is that there's no more parking, right? Like there's no more parking that, you know, of any, let's say, consequential, sure, value. And getting one end user a month to participate in a domain auction is going to bring you a lot more revenue than the parking on all the expired domains that month.
Yeah, for sure. So
I think it's more like a 250. I'd be surprised if it doesn't end up there.
As an example, just like you can look at Dropcatch, and when a really good domain goes on Dropcatch to auction, those drive end user sales. You can look at it. You can see, you know, I don't remember offhand, but there's been a handful this year of six-figure auction sales at Dropcatch that turned out to be an end user that bought it. And I promise you that the reason that happened is because
they typed it in.
Yep. The auction page.
No question. No.
But, all right, cool.
Anyway, I think it's a 250 name.
All right.
Could be.
You think it'll go that high on Ninja, huh?
It's a little high. It's a little long, I think, to fetch that at wholesale. I think you're not wrong in terms of the value, but
I'm just telling you what I think will happen. That's all. Yeah. If it goes that far.
Yeah. I'm at a buck and a quarter, you at 250. And then we got nickel.
There we go. All right. So nickel, up to you now, or on you now, the list. What do you think? What do you like? Good and bad.
So I think quite a few of the names. So I like the 2.org, so hometown.org. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mumbai.org I like, but it's the type of name that you'd buy and it would just sit in your portfolio forever.
You're going to feel good about it. It's one of those feel good names.
One of my favorite cities. So shout out to Mumbai. It's like, you know, it's just one of those where it's like you bought it for the wrong reasons.
Is Mumbai the most popular city in the world?
It might be something on density. I don't think it's one of the biggest. I reckon Tokyo is probably, and there's a
Tokyo's
bunch.
Tokyo's like 21 million or something.
Jakarta, Indonesia is the most populated city in the world, and over Tokyo is second. So, Chongqing, China, largest city proper by population. So.
China is crazy. China's got like 20 cities with like over 10 million people.
I mean, wild. I remember back when it was during like the big China bubble or China wave back in, you know, 15 and everything else. And we were doing all this different, like, you know, research and trying to understand the market and the demographics and everything else. And like, it was wild. They had cities that you never heard of, but like their sort of second tier cities would have been like, were bigger than LA and, you know, I mean, it was just wild. And you were like, wait a minute. And it was like, this city barely existed 20 years ago, and now it's the size of San Francisco, you know, and you're just like,
yeah,
that's crazy. And
have you seen the we'll probably get banned on YouTube for saying this, but there was a CCP, you know, Chinese Communist Party defector, this woman. I caught a clip of it on X, but it was this woman that was like part of the CCP who, you know, she's now doing a round of podcasts, and she's talking about how the population of China is actually just artificially inflated and the real population is actually only slightly larger than the United States. And the reason that they talk about all these inflation numbers is, you know, it's about GDP and control and trends and, you know, they've disclosed the account financial system and the currency and blah, blah, whatever. And I don't think that's probably, you know, I think she said there's 900 million people in China. I think that's, No, 400 million. I don't remember. It was a fraction of what they said.
That's interesting. And, well, again, violating our no language, no politics, no conspiracy rules. You know what I mean?
What? We've never said there's no conspiracy rule. This is the home of domain names and conspiracies.
We're supposed to have a conspiracy Sherpa.
We're going to have a whole conspiracy Sherpa. Imagine what we could have been doing. Conspiracy Sherpa would have been 100x bigger, maybe 1,000x bigger. But think about it. We got the government dropping, you know, aliens. We got Hantavirus. I mean, it's like every day we could be doing four episodes.
I know, you're right.
It's aliens.
Anyway, but yeah.
Talk about the biggest just rug pull in history. It's like the hype of, you know, we even registered aliens.gov and they made all this hype about the aliens, and then they drop this stuff, and it's like a nothing burger. It's like, look at this image that looks like
from 1954.
Yeah,
of a light in the sky.
But you know what? I liked it better. I liked it better when we weren't sure there was, you know.
One thing's pretty sure. There's something.
No aliens. Very sure. Definitely no aliens. Now, are there holdouts from a prior civilization on Earth that live in weird remote places? I'm open to that possibility. Do we have visiting aliens from other galaxies? Big goose egg.
Oh.
Goose egg. All these UFOs and, you know, plasma balls. This is just top secret technology. Whether it's the US or China, Russia, I don't know. I don't even care anymore. But it's
there's clearly other galaxies and civilizations, whether they've been here or not, probably not.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's keep it back.
I like the idea that I know how about
I like the idea.
I'm not saying I believe the idea. I like the idea. I like the story of human civilization started on Mars or some other planet. And as Mars left the Goldilocks zone and started to disintegrate into, you know, a non-habitable environment, humans had evolved to the point where they were interstellar and we could, or maybe not interstellar, but intergalactic. And we could, or intragalactic, and we traveled from Mars to Earth and then repopulated Earth. And then, you know, cataclysm happened, wiped us out. We lost our memory of, you know, the advanced technologies and society and all that. And then, you know, regrowth, rebirth, make up a few religions along the way to keep us in line. And here we are.
I thought it was more like that, you know, the aliens had come in and kind of opened up just certain aspects of our DNA to help us with intelligence and things so we could build the pyramids and all that kind of stuff. And then
I don't think the alien thing that's
I'm just saying, you know, or there's the idea that different folks have certain DNA that just puts them a little bit more in tune with the universe and it's, you know, sort of almost like
free. Yeah, I got that DNA.
One thing is clear, whatever it is, what was launched is a nothing burger.
yeah, that's for damn sure. Unfortunately, crosswebaliens.org, it's like, come on, man. We thought we were popping for a minute.
I was getting huge traffic on aliens.org.
Yeah, that's it.
Which, by the way, I just bought on DNX this year, like for very little, like $3,000 or something on DNX. Shout out DNX.com, your home for curated domain names.
Oh, dude. And we already got some pretty cool things about to happen with DNX as well. So we've got some exciting, interesting stuff there. So shout out to Josh and the team there. All right, let's keep it on track. We've got literally like less than 8 minutes left to finish up the rest of this show. So
let's go.
You said those two, the two .orgs you like. What else?
I guess ntk.com. I don't have much. I don't have any experience with three-letter .coms, but it kind of feels like it sounds like NTK, or it could be like need to know, nice to know.
Need to know.
And then I think I looked up, it had some random meaning for neural networks. And it's just, again, it's like one of those.
As a three character, I like that a lot. I mean, I like the combination of letters. And Drew, you're the expert. What do you think?
I'm not going to comment on NTK.com because I'm going to buy it. but it is a nice little three-letter.com. I do like it. But I would keep my thoughts to myself on that one. I also agree with Nicole on hometown.org. I think that one of the big trends that we're going to see as people get overwhelmed by this transition to AI and, you know, just the complexity of the world and the chaos that ensues is you're just going to see a hyper trend back to local, physical, in real life. And hometown.org is a great play on that. And I like the .org extension on it as well. So I think hometown.org is a great name.
I agree. I didn't see that.
Yeah. I think Business Brief is a cute little name. Like, it's not going to sell for big money, but it's, you know, it's in that 5 to 25,000 range for an end user. And, you know, like, I don't think you can build a real sustainable business in, you know, maybe you can, but I think that like using something like, you know, Dharmesh's agent.ai, he's got that business analysis tool business competition tool. And like, you know, you could kind of rewrap something like that into businessbrief.com and, you know, make like a pitch generator or, you know, say, I don't know. Business Brief is kind of a cute little, you know, alliterated brand name. Career planning, I think, is also, I think that's a sleeper because it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, sleeper is the wrong word. Career planning is a real thing. Everybody knows that, but like, it's not sexy or really in trend. But I think that as we start to see massive job displacement, massive dissatisfaction from a large portion of the employed people, I think that career change is going to be another massive trend, and career planning is going to be a big component of that. So yeah. I like that name, and that's about it. Sun Pros is, you know, nice little local solar installer name. International Energy, you know, could be some generic. You know, International Energy is one of those names that's like also just so unsexy. But, you know, you could easily have some multi-billion dollar, you know, oil corporation that's called International Energy, right? So I don't know. I kind of like that. I'd buy it.
Okay.
For, you know, a few hundred bucks, maybe let's say under a grand.
All right. And then, well, Nichols, since we kind of cut you off before you had a chance to close, I didn't know if you had any other thoughts. You know, Drew just decided to take it on himself.
Oh, I thought you were handing them.
It was actually a pretty good handoff.
I was going to say, I think career planning, I completely agree with Drew because that was one of the ones I put where I think it's going to be something more and more actually important as time goes on and as kind of careers change and AI has an impact on what type of work people are doing. I definitely, that was one of the other ones.
Sure.
But yeah, it's an interesting list. I think the only one I wasn't sure about, so it's the second highest number of back orders, OKON.com. Yep. And yeah, I mean, it's cool. I think those four letters go for, it's like vowel, consonant, and those end up going normally pretty high. I think I couldn't really find, it sounds kind of cool. Like I looked it up and it was a Nigerian surname as well. So
yeah, for there's a soccer player with the last name. There's also a synthetics, encoding, you know, company that goes by the name of Akon. Yeah, it's a CVCV, or actually it's a VCVC in this case. And so it's funny, you know, it'd be an interesting question for Shane or Josh or somebody who's like super in the, you know, in the market of the four character, you know, .coms, but, you know, more of the liquid side of it, like how much of that, you know, and how do the VCVCs play versus the CVCVs and stuff like that. And typically anything that's like a four character pronounceable, you know, relatively liquid domain is going to get a lot of attention and activity on NameJet. So it makes sense that it has that many back orders too. So, but yeah, so,
yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I think we've talked about almost every single name on the list, which is great. So all good. And that's good stuff. Thank you guys for all that. Let's kind of run around the room real quick for the last 3 minutes or so in grand closing, and then we'll shut it down for the day. But Nichols, since you're the new guy, what's going on with Hypernames? What else you got going on? Spaces? What do people need to know about?
I mean, ticking along as usual. I got nothing to sell, so I'll use this time to just shout out to you guys. Shout out to Domain Sherpa. Shout out to this industry. The game is beautiful. I know. We kind of like, I think about it like as a sport. It's just such a great game, and kind of feel lucky to play in it. It's a very cool industry, and you guys had a great conversation last week as well about money and what that buys. And I think in domain names, the main thing that we get is freedom, and it's just freedom to kind of like spend time with our family, do the things we want to do, and I just shout out to. Domain names.
All right, dude, I love it. Good stuff. All right, well, continuing around the room, and Drew, what about you, man?
Yeah, nothing to add. I talked enough.
Finish out a house, man. Finish out a house. That beautiful house.
Yeah. That's gonna be sick.
I will be making my way to that house. I'm self-inviting myself.
Yeah, no doubt.
Cool.
And then what about you, Miller?
Same. I think this is an amazingly productive or, you know, valuable episode of talking about pricing, and just happy to have been on it. So, yeah, I mean, look, a lot of big deals going down right now, and, you know, just riding the wave until the wave don't ride no more.
Yeah, no doubt. That's like a Grateful Dead lyric right there.
Yeah. Yeah. The Andrew Miller version.
Don't ride no more. But yeah, man, no, absolutely. You know, you got a lot of great stuff going on, you know, and so yeah, well, look, guys, I know everybody's busy, so I'll leave you to it. And we're literally at the end of time anyway. So thank you so much for everybody being here, especially Nickel, first time on the show. Definitely not the last. So thank you so much for joining us. And obviously to Drew and Andrew, thank you guys as always. Yep. Great stuff. Nicole. And to the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, we appreciate y'all. Without you, there is no us. So that's why everybody keeps showing up. And so just keep letting us know what's good. If you got anything to say to us, good, bad, ugly, we're not hard to find. And then we will otherwise catch everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody, and we will see you soon.